Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, you told me that all I have to do is ask. You told me to trust in you, so I made it my daily task to go to you in all I say and do, to follow your will, cause you see me through.
Welcome. That's yours truly, Dancia Jones Morris, with Yes from our debut CD. So glad to be here this evening with you all today. Thank you so much for joining us on Kingdom Authority with your host, Reverend Dancia Jones Morris. And I have with me my husband again today, Reverend Leon Morris Sr., who will be hosting with me again. I'm so excited about that. And we're going to charge our listeners to take authority. Take authority. Our focus today is on how we take authority in light of the recent senseless killings this week of Anton Sterling and Philando Castile, and then the aftershock of the killings of 5 Dallas, Texas police officers. It is our intention to charge you all today to do something godly. And as a result of this, and because God charges us to do something godly, as we take authority in the kingdom realm, we want to make sure that we do what God says. And we're happy today. We're happy to have 2 guests with us today, and we're going to introduce you to them. First of all, I'd like my co-host, Reverend Leon Morris Sr., to say something to all the listeners.
Good evening, everyone. It's a blessing to be on the line again. I want to take this opportunity to introduce 2 brothers of mine from Tucson, Arizona, Brother Robert Cooper and Brother Eli Davis. Both of my really close brothers and both fathers, and we're just happy to have them on the air today. Brother Cooper, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm Robert Cooper, and I've lived in Tucson since 1989. I retired Air Force after 21 years. I have 3 sons, 23 today, Jeremy, and I have twin boys who are 9 years old, Robert and Xavier. And I'm just blessed to be here.
Amen. Great to have you. Brother Eli, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm still here, Brother Leon.
Thank you for coming out, for being online. Can you just tell the listeners a little about yourself, sir?
Just very simple, a 32-year-old male. I've been living in Tucson since 2001, originally from St. Louis, Missouri. I have 2 daughters, the ages of 11 and 9. I guess you could call me a ex-felon, ex-3-time felon, small business owner, and just trying to walk as close as the word of the Lord as I can nowadays.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're so happy to have you 2 here today. We are just excited about what the listeners will hear from both of you, first of all, and what we can do together, and just kind of in light of taking kingdom authority when it comes to, you know, things of this nature. So before we get started, we're just going to pray first. And I just want to go ahead and make sure that we just bless this time. Father, we thank you. We love you, oh God, and we bless your holy and righteous name. We're excited, Lord, that we are being charged today to take authority, kingdom authority. This is not individual. This is not about physical authority, but spiritual authority in the kingdom of God according to your word. And as we dive into this, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you would just bless every word in the name of Jesus, that we will be open and honest, but yet fruitful, God, according to your word. And we pray, Lord, that these experiences that we share today, that someone will be blessed by it, Father. We thank you for our two guests on today that are doing wonderful things in the kingdom of God. And so, God, we will just bless you as we go into this time, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and get started this morning. This afternoon, I just want to make sure that any listeners on the line, we will open it up today for you to come on. We want to pray with you. We want to hear from you. Remember, this is taking authority in the kingdom realm. So we want to hear your thoughts of us coming together and taking authority in Jesus' name. All right, so let's kind of start off with some things, some information to help others understand what's going on. A lot of people don't know what's going on in the world, and I want to share some stats with you about Black America. We're focused today on Black America. So right now, as of 2013, actually, from the census in February 2015, census was completed, there were 45 million Blacks, either alone as a Black or in combination with another nationality or race, as of July 1st, 2013, in America. That's up by 1% since July 2012. There's 74.5 million projected by 2016. That's a lot of African Americans in the United States of America. Alone in New York, for those of you who are listening from New York, the Black population is 3.7 million just in New York, the state of New York, and that's as of July 1st, 2013. Texas has the largest numeric increase since 2012 by 78,000. Listen to this. The District of Columbia, our nation's capital, had the highest percentage of Blacks, 51%. 51% African Americans really dominate in that area, followed by Mississippi, which is 38.1%. So we have our nation's capital and in the South. The county that has the most as of 2013, 1.3 million in Cook County, Illinois, that's Chicago, by the way, for all those who are listening from Chicago, had the largest Black population of any county in 2013, 1.3 million, with Houston following in Harris County, and had the largest numeric increase in 2012. There are a lot of Americans in the United States. I want to talk about a little bit about, you know, other statistics regarding percentage of Blacks age 25 and over with a high school diploma or higher. That's 83.7%. 83.7 have a high school diploma or higher. That really should be 100, but 83.7 for whatever reason did not. There's several that did not get their high school diploma. Listen to this shocking news. Only 19.3% of Blacks 25 and over had a bachelor's degree or higher in 2013. So they're graduating from high school, but not going on to a higher degree. They may have started, but didn't complete it. 1.7 million Blacks 25 and older, and over that is, had an advanced degree in 2013. That means graduate school, getting their master's or doctorate. 1.7 million. Now, I want you to keep in mind, as of that time, there were 45 million Blacks in the United States and only 1.7 million furthered their education. Listen to this as we continue on. I want to talk to you about not just the education, but the poverty level. The poverty level is amazing. The national median income is $51,939 is the median income. That's the average of what people make in the United States of America. But for Blacks as of 2013, or African Americans, if you will, $34,598 is the median income. I will tell you there is a big disconnect, a gap there. So I want to go into the poverty rate. 27.2% is a poverty rate as of the 2015 census for 2013. That the poverty rate is 27.2%, while the national poverty rate is only 14.5%. Listen, 4.1% is the percentage of blacks that were covered by health insurance during all or part of 2013. Nationally, it's 80.6%, and we know there's some things that happen and with different laws. Most people say it's so-called Obamacare, but it's the Affordable Care Act. That helps for people to get their health insurance. So it increased to 84.1% as of 2013. Here are the household statistics. I'm throwing a lot of numbers, but I want you to get the gist of the state of Black America or African Americans in the United States of America. Is the number among families with Black householders. That's the percentage that were married couples in 2013. Now, I know it's not 50% or higher, but that's a huge chunk of people who are married in the Black community. So we can't say everyone's divorced. We can't say everyone, the marriages don't work in the Black community, because it's very synonymous with our white counterparts. When you look at statistics, hear this though, 1.3 million is the number of Black grandparents who live with their own grandchildren younger than the age of 18 in 2013. And 45.2% were also responsible for their care. We have grandparents, what we call in South Africa, go-go's, taking care of their children's children because the parents aren't around, according to the statistics. There's some more, but we'll share that later. But in light of that, we want to kind of talk about the state of Black America and what we need to do as a community and taking kingdom authority. And there's some principles that we have to implement in our lives. So I want to start off about some things. We want to ask some questions of our guests today. Thank you so much for your patience, Mr. Cooper and Mr. Davis. We want to start off asking some questions of you today.
Yes, and in light of this past week's events on the census killings of Mr. Alton's Sterling and Fernando Castro, we all know the mixture of feelings throughout the United States and the world. Tell me your first reactions and thoughts about these events. Mr. Cooper.
Well, my first reaction was straight anger, not understanding what's going on, but why they cannot take them in forcefully, you know, without hurting them. Everything seems to be a kill shot. With our people, and as I watch them handle other ethnic groups, they take their time, talk to them, and take them out to get a burger, you know? So it kind of hurts. And at my age, you know, I've seen some racist stuff as I was growing up. And so it's kind of tough to watch it.
We certainly understand. Mr. Davis, same question.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me your first reaction.
I think my first reaction, I'd have to agree with Brother Cooper on that one. It was mostly anger, and I had to come to think about that, and it was anger for a different reason. It wasn't the anger that it happened. It was the anger that people are just barely now saying something and standing up about it, like, I'm only 32, but just in my short time of being on this planet that God's given me, I've seen this happen numerous times before it became a cause for people to stand up and say something against. So
right.
for people to barely just get these reactions off of simple matters that probably, if handled or worded differently at the time, might have had an easier outcome, when before there were actual situations when people had reason to stand up and say something and they overlooked it or they let it die down.
Now, both of you are fathers. Both of you are fathers. Kind of tell me what this means to you as a father. Let's start with Mr. Cooper.
Well, as a father of three boys, I see that life is going to be hard for them. I mean, life is hard for me. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a panic attack when a cop is behind me, even though I know I didn't do anything wrong. But what if they having a bad day? And I'm not for one to be disrespected myself, so I know I have a slim temper. So I worry about my boys and the way, you know, children will be children, and sometimes they just don't understand that this person is supposed to be there to protect them. But then when they give them some orders or anything like that, they contradict themselves when they say, put your hands up, or then go ahead and reach for something, and they think they're reaching for a weapon or something. So I fear for my boys because the schools treat them different in school. They inside the school system, they treat my boys as if they have ADA, you know, they have too much energy. They don't want to take the time with these kids. And they always have a disciplinary problem, you know. And I'm looking at the other kids jumping up and down, screaming and yelling at an adult, talking to him crazy. And I said, in my culture, that wouldn't happen. So I'm a little upset. I'm afraid for my boys. And some thoughts, you know, all of us baby boomers, we have to die out for this thing to change a little bit.
Right.
Because after us baby boomers, you know that it was taught. You didn't grow up in it. You didn't grow up in the system itself.
Right.
Now you got all the juniors and esquires, you know.
And as a father myself of three boys, and I totally understand, and I felt anger, and I really, my first instance was to talk to my youngest son and let him know to have little to no confrontation. You can have communication, but little to no confrontations with any police officer, just in case they get the wrong idea. It's really, we have to teach our young men, young women, not to have any confrontation. And that was my conversation with my boys. It's just, you know, if you do not have to have any confrontation, that's good. But if you must get your point across, allow us, the parents, to get that point across for you, not you take things into your own hands.
Right. But Reverend Leon,
this last incident
did not have any confrontation. He was just sitting in the car. We saw it.
Exactly.
There was no confrontation. So what am
I
supposed to do when I get pulled over? You know?
You know.
What am I supposed to do? What are my kids are supposed to do when they tell you, Mother, may I move, and you still get shot?
Right.
That's
you know, the one thing I was talking to my wife about is, like, I'm not going to, even if you tell me to move, I'm not moving. You know, you have to put your weapon away. You have to have your hands free so I can feel comfortable about moving myself.
But now you're resisting arrest.
Yeah. it's one of those things you can't win or lose it, but we still have to take a proactive choice, I mean, a stance of, I know you're telling me to, officer, you're telling me to move until I feel comfortable and safe. I prefer you to holster your weapon so I can feel safe.
Let's talk about a couple of things, because we want to gear this towards, we can't
we can't change the mindset of others. As kingdom people, we have to pray. There's some principles, you know, practical things we have to do, but there are some kingdom principles we have to have in place, knowing that the weapons are of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And so that may look a little different compared to what our natural minds say, but God looks at things a different way. And so just as Jesus going to the cross, that looked bad for all of us, but he had to shed the blood in order for the remission of sins. And so what the challenge is today, and we're going to get to that a little bit, the challenge is today is to discuss these things, kind of detox, and then get to what does God say that we are to do? Through the anger, through the hurt, through the sometimes even hatred some people have right now in regards to this. How do we get to the point where we get to what God says? And so I kind of want to shift a little bit and go to that, but I want people to hear encounters that the two of you have maybe had in situations with the law enforcement. So brother Eli, if you can just kind of elaborate on anything and encounters you've had.
As I said in my introduction to myself, I am a 3-time felon. I have been down in prison 3 different times. As a father, this whole ordeal started off as a personal concern, a concern that maybe one day I'll get stopped and never see my kids again. But then it wasn't just young black males dying off anymore. It was young black women, and not just the so-called quote-unquote stereotypical black women. It was educated, smart, intelligent, independent, strong black women that weren't necessarily in the wrong, but strong enough to take a stand, and it actually made me start worrying about the safety of my own daughters. My encounters with law enforcement, I learned in my own experiences, it's the individual that they're approaching and the individual that's being approached. You have officers that can have a bad day and take it off on the next suspect that they have to question or arrest or apprehend or what have you. But then you also have officers that have those same bad days and can do that professionally and by the book without anyone getting hurt or without anyone being harmed or detained violently. Now, from my understanding, every officer is put through training on how to apprehend a suspect without using deadly force. Yet, these men that I've come in contact with, the worst I've seen them get is verbally, and that was based on my response to them. So starting off with the idea that all cops hate black men and they're just going to stereotype me and stop me for no reason, no, it became more of my attitude in their approach. Oh, they're just stopping me for nothing. All right, if I just do what they say, they'll go away because I got no reason to worry about it. On the other hand, if you have a reason to worry about it, of course you're going to fight it. But if there's one level head in a conflict, I do not see it ever escalating to that point. So it then becomes are we handling our idea or our viewpoint of officers correctly? Or are we taking their experience and their actions towards somebody else personal enough to assume that that's exactly how they're going to approach us, even if we're not in the wrong? For me personally, I just have I have that outlook that not all cops are bad and not all cops are going to act inappropriately or cross a line that no one can return from if you just, like Leon was saying, just let it go, man. There's proper ways to handle officers like that, and it took me a very long time and a lot of pointless times sitting in intake in prison in jail for me to finally realize, you know what, instead of flashing or going off on these people, just let them be stupid, let them make their own mistakes and do it properly to show they made a mistake and you got nothing to worry about. Like if you educate yourself on how to handle these type of situations, you really don't have to worry about these type of situations becoming an issue. But it's a lack of knowledge and understanding of what's going on around you and how you look at it based on your own personal feelings as opposed to what everyone else tells you you're supposed to feel about it.
Let's kind of talk about that a little bit. You mentioned a few things that I want to make sure to touch on, and I'm going to throw some statistics out there, and, you know, you all can take it as you will, but it's information that is public, and so I want to talk about some things according to the blackdemographics.com, and this is regarding black men and all men in general. And you can make your own solutions. Ages 16 to 64, the percent who are in the labor force, according to the blackdemographics.com, 67% black men, compared to all men, which is 80%. So less of our black men are in the labor force. Unemployment, 11.2% among black men, 7.3% for all men. Below the poverty level, 26%, compared to all men at 15%. That work full-time year-round, 37% for black men, 48% for all men. Earnings not from full-time work, whatever that means, it's the same for black men and all men in general, 23%. White-collar occupation types, white-collar, 42% black men in white-collar jobs compared to 75% for all men in general. Blue-collar jobs, 36% for black men, 17% for all men. And then you have service occupations, you know, normally working in fast food, normally working in restaurants, 23% for black men and 8% for all men. Here's the even more shocking news. Ages 18 to 64, this is just as of 2013, those who are in jail or prison, 6% for black men, 2% of all men that are in jail or prison. But the rate for black men, ex-offenders, the percent approximately, 34% of black men are ex-offenders compared to 12% for all men. Now, you can make your own conclusions by this. Those who are veterans, this is crazy to me, the percent of who are veterans of black men are 14%, whereas for all men it's 15%. So not such a big variance there. But here's the other part. Of those who are disabled, of black men, 16%, 11% of all men disabled. And I don't have the statistics with me now, but it was shocking to see some of the stats for those who are veterans who are disabled, veterans of the United States of America, serving their country and are now disabled or imprisoned. You make your own statistics. I want you to know that these are shouldn't be too shocking, but it's sad. So let me. I went to some sources and I wanted to read this so you all can hear this. The Full Gospel Baptist Church presiding bishop, Bishop Joseph Walker, stated this: "While our prayers are certain with all of those who've experienced these losses, we are convinced that prayer alone is, in essence, the reliance of faith while dismissing a key factor that proves the efficacy of our faith, actions that align with our unfailing faith, belief. The Bible states that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble," and this is according to James, the first chapter, 27th verse in the New King James Version. "Because of the senseless acts of this nature," we're talking about the most recent killing, "many of our sons and daughters have left widows, widowers, parents, and children of their own to fend for themselves and perpetually mourn their lives, abruptly shortened by tragic violence. One of the most effective ways to care for this
contemporary, untimely, and sadly growing sect of widows and orphans is to work to institute change that ensures an end to cases such as these, which end in avoidable and horrific deaths, leaving a grieving local and cultural community while a seemingly silent or at best a hushed larger population carries on with their daily affairs unaffected. This is a charge to take authority, people. Full Gospel is mobilizing its members to vote to change federal law on the use of deadly force by law enforcement officials. The unabridged license to kill African-American men, women, and children must end. We, through our newly instituted initiative, will mobilize our community to vote on this and other issues of social and moral change. Then he goes into social change according to Daniel, the second chapter and 21st verse. And that's from Full Gospel. I will tell you, in light of some of the statistics I read and you heard, if we are to vote for change of these laws, how can we do it when we have such a high percentage of ex-offenders who no longer have their right to vote? I will challenge you on that, Mr. Cooper and Mr. Davis. Either one, please.
Go ahead, Eli. Mr. Davis, all right. Go ahead.
I mean, sadly enough, the numbers kind of speak for themselves. It kind of just shows, even being in vast number, we are vastly outnumbered. It's sad. It's heartening. And I don't know if those numbers are because we're not putting in enough effort, or like we see now coming out of the dark, the doors have been getting slammed on us from the beginning. Like, I reach a moment of confusion on how to feel about the same country that stands up once a year and says it embraces every individual that can call themselves a citizen, but the other 364 days were nothing. And I know it's not because... I know it can't be because we're not trying, because there's too many of us that, and when I say us, I mean young African-American males that actually want a future, actually want to be successful in life, but are told there's only limited options of making that possible. And the options we're giving only lead to outcomes of unemployment, incarceration, or the latter, death. Right.
Well, let me ask this. Is this true, according to President Jerry Young of the National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated, where he states, returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Mr. Cooper. How true is that statement?
That is very true. And I'm just going to kind of keep it 100 here, and I'm going to say it's on both sides of this. First of all, from our point of view, we lack unity. We don't have a head. We're, the black culture is like a child without a father, and we're seeking in the darkness, and we're just running around roaming. And I think we've been let down by the NAACP. We've been let down by some of our leaders that we're just not getting into action like we're supposed to. We're not getting united like we're supposed to. And then on the other hand, on the other side, all the people that says all lives matter, we don't see them standing up. We see more of the bad people standing up. So we need more of those other people who voted for Barack Obama to stand up and fight this battle for equal rights all the way around, because they're the ones that's in control right now. They're in power to make things happen. And just like the blue line, nobody wants to say anything because they're trying to hold on to their job. And I don't know if you can feel my anger with this. This is both sides are not coming together. Everybody's, it seems like it's about money, positioning, job titles, what I've done. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Brother Cooper, or Brother Davis. What does, you know, as far as being a Christian, two Christian brothers, what does taking kingdom authority mean to you when it comes to this state of America? Brother Cooper.
As a Christian, a person of faith, oh, my goodness. Sometimes, well, I can just say in the last few days, I know that everything happens for a reason. And does my faith falter a little bit sometimes? And I say, Lord, just what have we done to deserve this? you know, I just try to stay in prayer and pray for everyone coming together. It's kind of hard because you got the other side saying, where's your God now? Where's your God now? And I'm trying to stay in faith as a baby Christian, saying he's right here with me. And I know he's with me. But it seems like the negative is shouting louder than the good right now. So it's harder to stay behind it, you know?
All right. Brother Davis, what does it mean to you, kingdom authority?
Honestly, going through my head right now, all I can simply say is just spending every moment of my life just hoping and praying that I have God's blessing to make it through another day, do whatever I can for him, and know that it's by his grace, his mercy, and his power that I even am blessed to see another day, so that's where my true focus and resource through the day should come from. I battle with that quite often, but I would like to believe I'm at a point to where I know it in my heart enough to where even in those hard moments, I can say the authority is not mine, it's his through his kingdom that I just so happen to be blessed to be a part of.
Okay, let me give you some good news, my brothers. Let me give you some good news. Coming from Joshua chapter 1, I heard my brother-in-law speaking about this morning, Joshua chapter 1 in the King James Version. It said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, this is God speaking to Joshua, every place that your foot tread upon, he said he will give it to you. So as Christian believers, God has given us authority, give us kingdom authority to where we can go back and take back our kids, take back their rights, you know, their rights to live, their right to vote. We have that authority. We have the faith and believe that God's word is true. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
So we should go ahead and take back that authority. Every place that our foot touches, that territory is should be given to God, is giving that back to us.
What are your thoughts?
The thoughts on that is we read it. We want to believe it, but we don't see it in the flesh. We don't see the unity of even going that direction. We have so many different denominations, so many different beliefs, and we're supposed to be worshiping one God. We're not even one with all the believers that's here. And so
Right. That
makes it very hard for new believers to say what's going on with everybody. Why are we not coming together and taking that back?
Well, everything starts with one person. Starts with you. Start with yourself. Okay, you can't be too focused on everybody else. We have to start with ourselves. Okay, so that's what it says. Every place that your foot, not every place that somebody else's, but everybody else's foot. He's talking about your foot.
I understand
that's the territory.
Everything that I do, that I try to do, I try to do in a godly manner so that people see that. I mean, I don't have to go and tell nobody I'm a Christian. I don't have to wear a hat. I don't have to wear a cross on. I would hope that my actions and everything that I do in my everyday life, at my personal work or business or whatever it may be, is going to reflect that I'm a godly person or a spiritual person. And I'm taking ownership of what I'm doing in my circle. I'm taking ownership of who I touch and who I affect every day. And I believe that I do that. I mean, every blue moon I might hear something that I did do that. But I don't look for that to come back. I just do something. I do the things that I do in a godly manner. Or what would Jesus do? I try to do that to my best ability. And I think Brother Davis can back me up on that one.
That is correct. I personally, for me, I guess it's not so much believing it, but it's like Brother Cooper just mentioned, it's very hard to see it in the world we're surrounded in. I know where to find it if I need to in word. I know that that's something I had to learn on my own through experience and prayer, but it kind of weighs you down when you look around and you have so much hope for others to see it, and you see how so far off they're acting from seeing. Either they see it and just ignore it, or they just haven't wisened up to the point to where they can see it, and that even makes it more depressing. Because I think Sister Morris mentioned earlier, In her question of how are we supposed to act in light of such dark and terrible times. And according to the word, if I remember this correctly, we're still supposed to act out of love and patience and mercy and grace and kindness and meekness of spirit. But it's so hard when you have the complete opposite facing you day in and day out, when you're not doing anything to try to provoke it or even encourage it to continue to be there.
This is so true. And Brother Cooper, Brother Davis, I thank you for your honesty. And I thank you for, we can hear the hurt. We can hear the questions in your minds, the questions in your, you know, your voices about what's to come. But let me just throw some scriptures out for you and all the listeners. And I want to, it's so important that we talk about this just a little bit. And what happens in Daniel. In Daniel, listen to this. And for Moses and Aaron kept the faith 45 years after the promise was given to Moses. It looked bleak because they were wandering around for 40 years, but Aaron kept the faith. Joshua kept the faith. I'm sorry, Joshua kept the faith. And he didn't. 45 years is a long time to wait for something. I think it was 40 years, actually. I mean, it was 85 by the time, you know, things were starting to happen on their behalf. And so Joshua kept the faith regardless of what the time has passed. And we have to have that level of faith in God. Listen, in Daniel, I want to read Daniel 2, the 19th through the 23rd verse. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And he changes, talking about God, and he changes the times and the seasons. He changes the God we serve, changes the times and seasons. People of God, lest we forget, we are not here to stay. And so everything that transpires, I want us as Christians, we have to look at this differently. As many encounters I've had with law enforcement, I want you to understand they weren't always great encounters. They weren't always great encounters. But what I do know in this time and day is that we have to come to where it's going to be the end of this here earth that we are calling earth, how we see it. And so if we don't keep the faith, regardless of what's going on, if we as Christians, base and mature, if we don't grow to acknowledge and believe God, who will believe him through hard times? Because they are going to get harder. Listen to Daniel 21, chapter 2, verse 21. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. You can't get understanding unless you seek the wisdom of God. If we seek our own understanding, we will fail every time. Listen to this. Daniel and was 15 going to Babylon's system. He was 85 when he received the revelation that they would be freed from Babylon, from the Babylonian system. He maintained an excellent spirit. He prayed. He remained faithful to God. And God, in turn, protected, shielded, and sustained him. Listen. Daniel says also in chapter 2, he revealed deep and secret things, but we have to trust him. We have to depend on him. We have to know that he is going to come through. I'm not saying just pray because faith without works is dead. Well, what I am saying is this. There are spiritual things that there's things in the spirit realm that we can do that we can never do in the natural and have a bigger impact in the spiritual realm. What God does for us is supernatural. He superimposes what looks like a bad thing and makes it a great thing. Here, listen to this. For those who believe that it's not a good thing to love your neighbor and to die for your neighbor, Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oath in his name. Lord, I promise you I'm going to depend on you regardless of how it looks. Let me tell you, people of God who are listening, this is hard. There are going to be even harder times. We're going to see it in families that are really close to us and maybe even ourselves. But will we hold on to the faith? Will we take authority in the kingdom to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? It may look like it prosper in the natural and the physical, but in the spirit realm, we know where we go should we die. Listen to me, people of God. Let me just read one more thing for you. Ephesians 2. Those who are listening, turn with me, please, as we get ready to close. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. Just as Daniel stood steadfast, and this was a man of God, a young man of God, he stood steadfast, so can we. God is showing us through Jesus Christ that we have the same power they had back in the days, where they believed God, whether it was 40, 100, or 120 years. We have to believe God. It's a requirement, and he's forcing us to mature in his word and do what we say we're doing. So not let our mouths just be talking, but actually do that. And that's what this radio broadcast is about, kingdom authority. Stop the talking and start doing. You can't just sit back. back and allow it to come. And I think that's what's happened in Black America. And we just allow, and we don't do what God says to do, which is to pray and to seek his face and to turn from our wicked ways. Hear me, people. He says, then, 2 Chronicles 7:14, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins first, and then I will heal the land. The sins have to be forgiven first because we've had so many. The people, his people, the Israelites, had so many. And I'll tell you today, we have a lot of sins. We have turned mostly to money. We've turned to the physical things, and we've turned to even sex. We've turned to so many different things in the natural that we forgot about God. Or we put him to the side. Or we think that, okay, we'll go to him last. No, he's first. Amen. Amen. Here's Ephesians 2. And I'm saying this because I have to really believe this. I had to really trust him last night. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, Christ Jesus, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances of this world, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. I don't have enough time to break that down. I'll do that next week. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Jesus Christ came, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Now to those who are in disbelief, and believe me, I had such anger this week, and the Lord had to deal with me. My husband prayed for me. My mother prayed for me. Hear this. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And if we're a part of the household of God, and God owns a count of 1,000 hills, and he's here for us, I'm just using that as an example, he can provide for us peace. He can provide for us, his word provides us to be able to sustain, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's still the chief cornerstone. We can still depend on him, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple to the Lord. In whom, verse 22, Ephesians 2, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If we don't rise up, saints of God, those who call on the name of Jesus Christ and call yourself a Christian, if we don't rise up, where is the Spirit of God to dwell? America, where is the Spirit of God to dwell? He will not dwell in sin. And so we have to take authority by praying over our children, first of all, teaching them the things they need that need to be taught in our homes. Don't wait for the Sunday school teacher, the Bible study teacher, the pastors. We teach them. So I will challenge you and charge you. Take authority in your life, people of God. Take authority in your life. Take authority in your home. Take authority in your own church. Take authority in your community. Speak peace of God. As much sometimes I have to set Dancia down because she gets excited and upset about things, I have to go back. That God, you dwell in me, and I am to bring peace. And sometimes that means for me practically not saying anything at all at that point and praying. And we're going to pray on tonight. We're going to pray on tonight because we need, and we're going to continue this next week because there's some challenging days ahead in America. We're not only praying for the families of the two that were killed by police officers, but we're going to pray for the families of those police officers as well. And so we have to bring peace. And I challenge you tonight to read on God's word, Daniel. Read on God's word, Ephesians 2, and see if the Holy Spirit speaks to you over the next few days And I want you to call in and share as what God has spoken to you, what he's revealed to you. Now, listen, I want things that are positive. I want to hear the things that the Spirit of God has spoken. I don't want these other spirits. I command in the name of Jesus that we will see the light of day, and it seems like it's dark, but the light of day is through Jesus Christ, I tell you. The Most High God has said to us that we can do all things through who? Jesus Christ, who strengtheneth us. And so the authority lies within. Yes, it's his authority, but in Genesis 1, he gave us dominion, authority. He's given us control, so to speak, if you want to say it that way. He's given us our territory, and we've got to stand our territory. If you've been listening to the last few weeks, it's all about establishing your territory. Your territory, Minister, Brother Cooper, your territory and yours is entrepreneurship and taking authority to help young black men to take the charge of self-employment, business owners to help get debt-free. Brother Davis, your authority, I'm challenging you today, is to help those who have been incarcerated to know that they can live without going back and they can be there for their families and that they can seek God and do the things in the church environment in the body of Christ. And so take authority. Let's not stand back in our feelings. It's hard. I've had the encounters. I've been yelled at. I've been verbally abused by law enforcement. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I've gone through what we call the system. I don't care. The system is this. We are of the kingdom of God, and we abide by his rules, come what may, even unto death. Amen. 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 Go ahead. I don't have time for callers right now, and I really apologize. I thank you all for listening. Before we pray, I want to thank Brother Cooper and Brother Davis for coming on. Those are powerful things, and I want people to hear their hearts and hear the struggle that our flesh and our spirit have to get through this. It's real. It is real. So just any last words before we pray, about 15 seconds, Brother Cooper.
My only words is to all the families that lost someone this last week, we just want to pray for those families. My heart goes out to each and every one of them, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Brother David?
I just have to piggyback off that and just actually you include a prayer of peace and mercy all the way around, both from both ends. It's going to take a miracle.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. We are so grateful, Lord, for this time, for us living in this time. Apparently, you equipped us for this time, and you've equipped us to take kingdom authority in this particular time, this season. And so, God, we say thank you that you're entrusting us to do the right thing. I pray right now for the peace of God in those families of Mr. Sterling and Mr. Castile, Lord, their families, especially for their children that have to grow up without their father, if there be any other children. I'm not sure for Brother Sterling, but for Philando, God, I pray for that daughter, God, and I pray in the name of Jesus, peace to cover this land for those families of the officers that were killed and those who were injured. In the name of Jesus, help us all deal with this according to your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Kingdom Authority for Kingdom Empowerment Incorporated. Please tune in each week at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are excited to have you come in and join with us. We are still going to talk about Kingdom Authority and taking our rightful place. And I charge you this evening to make sure to take authority going on of your own feelings even. We are excited. I thank my husband for joining us on tonight, and he will continue to join us as we co-host together, just sharing what God has done. It's a blessing to have you all come in tonight. I want you to join us on KIFM each Sunday night. And I charge you, take authority.
Thank you, and praise God, and blessings and covering on everyone.
Thank you guys for having me. You have a blessed evening and a happy and safe week.
Thank